Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Well, hey, welcome everyone. Welcome, Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. It's a lovely, lovely day, and so excited to have you all tuning in today because it's that time of the month prior to tax cutoff day, as you guys have seen the announcements and on the schedule of Build, Grow, and on BuildGrowAndEnjoy.com. I've got one of BGE's working divas back by popular demand, but before we get into that, just want to make sure you guys get on over to workingdivas.com. Great articles, ladies, you know, talking about that wealth gap, speaking on what are you saving for. You know, we always got to keep our money right. It's 3/14/2012 here in the beautiful San Diego, Los Angeles, 12:01 p.m., What's up, ATL? 301 where you guys are at. I'm getting calls. It's so funny. As spring is coming forward, I get so many calls a day, so many emails, texts, oh, you name it. But it's just so funny sometimes when I get calls from family and friends from all over the globe, and they just want to tell me, you know, just talk about the weather. Well, recently I'm getting a lot of calls from family, friends, even some of my, you know, listeners just telling me how the weather is, where they're at, and they're just like, it's so hot here. It's just getting hot, and, you know, it's just so funny. Like, okay, all I can say, you know, with my response is, well, turn on your AC, and they just kind of like, oh, yeah, but anyway, it's kind of corny, but it's just funny how, you know, getting, you know, the response from everyone about the weather and ATL, about the pollen. And here in San Diego, you know, it's just, it's beautiful again. So it's just always the same here. As you guys know, San Diego is one of the finest cities in America. Average weather is about 75 degrees year-round. So it's just kind of just a blessing to be able to be here as I'm, you know, traveling city to city and commuting back and forth until I'm able to get back to the ATL and, you know, get some of that pollen, I guess, too, which, whoo, I have a problem with. But I will be in the ATL at the end of the month, so I'm looking very, very forward to that. But I can tell you that my Benadryl is on deck. So, as I was saying, we have one of the even working visas back, and that's Miss Debbie Snelling with the Snelling Report, and it's that time for the monthly newsletter for all of you guys. By popular demand, you guys hitting me up, you know, asking where you can go check out Debbie to get more information on this very informative newsletter that she produces with her company every month and posts online and on her site, giving you great tips and tricks, saving money in your business and on your taxes, and you know that's what it's all about, saving money. So welcome, Debbie. I know you are under the weather yourself, so we will be very patient with you.
I appreciate that. I've got the barking seal syndrome, and I can't seem to get rid of it. It's my husband had the old man weave, so I guess I'd rather be a barking seal than the old man weave.
Well, it's just absolutely a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you for taking the time, even under the weather that you're in, to be able to share with the listeners. You know, as I was telling you, you know, I get a lot of hits on, you know, your newsletter and on your site. So let's just get right into it. You know, what's the highlight for this month on the newsletter with the taxes and financial planning?
Well, first I need to say that corporate tax returns are due tomorrow, March 15th. So everybody who has a corporation, people tend to think that due dates are the same date as their personal returns. So just as an FYI, corporate tax returns or extensions are due tomorrow. I've got the last few returns that I'm going to get done today, getting done, and everybody else will be extended. So that'll give you a six-month extension. Yeah, but our big highlights this month are some 7 common small business tax misperceptions, and then 8 ways that children lower your taxes. I don't think that we'll have time to go through everything. You can still make IRA contributions in 2012 for 2011. You know, there are certain taxes that you can deduct if you itemize. The child tax credit is available. Don't forget, you know, don't miss picking up all the things available to you if you itemize on your personal return for medical and dental expenses. And it's just this month's newsletter. I think I say this every month. I'm just really impressed with our newsletter. And people tell me to get over myself, but, you know, dag, it's good stuff. We put out some good stuff with this newsletter.
Well, you definitely do, because you have the attention of my listening audience, and I know we wouldn't have time to go through them all. So someone that did stand out to me, and with, you know, you being in Atlanta and Atlanta being that city of entrepreneurs and a lot of people starting small businesses, can you just briefly just go through those seven common small business tax misperceptions? I'm sure that there's a lot of questions on that, or just, you know, touch the basics on it, and I guess they can contact you for more information.
And most of these are questions, things that we get questions about all the time. We threw in one extra one about startup costs. Also, you know, there's before you open your business, you incur certain expenditures, like the cost of organizing your company with the Secretary of State and advertising it, and you may buy your business cards and your letterhead and pay attorneys and accountants for work they do before you open your doors. If you're in the restaurant business, you're going to be interviewing people and you're going to be making improvements to the property. If you're in construction, you've got all kinds of land and development costs that you incur before you actually begin operating your business. And people think that when you pay that money that it is immediately deductible, and it's not actually deductible until you go into business. And there are a couple of ways of doing it. Things you can take up to $10,000 business startup costs immediately, and then after that, the remaining costs have to be amortized. Amortization is similar to depreciation in that it just means that they're not going to let you take the whole deduction at one time, but they'll let you take it over a number of years. For startup costs, that's generally 5 years. For automobiles, it's generally 5 years. Computers, 5. Furniture, 7. I don't want to run down the litany of stuff, but those are the big items. So the first thing to know is just because you've paid money today doesn't mean it's necessarily deductible today. But to the extent that it is for business, a legitimate business expense, it will be deductible. You might just not. It just may be that you don't all get it today.
Other people
are very conservative. I've got a client that I've spoken to a great deal this week. She keeps saying, "I've got more expenses, but I don't want to take them in case I get audited." And while there's a school of thought that says, hey, you know, having some money in your back pocket in case you get audited is a good thing, since they find something you can go, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, let me whip out this, put this on my tax return. You know, on the other hand, the odds of being audited are only 3%. So why not take that 90%, 97% opportunity and take the deductions that you're entitled to, and then if you get audited, make the right argument about your deduction. So don't overpay. There actually was a Supreme Court decision, I want to say in the 40s, where the Supreme Court said it is the right and obligation of every taxpayer to minimize their taxes, i.e. to take full advantage of the tax code. So don't overpay because you feel like it makes you safe. Exercise your rights and responsibilities as a citizen. Keep your money and use it where you think it's best used. Another thing that people think is that a reason to incorporate is to save money on your taxes. And while you can, there are, you know, certainly a number of tax deductions available to people who are in business. The mere fact of being in business means that most of those expenses are already deductible. Some examples: travel, meals and entertainment. The best example that I like to use here is a guy who... And this guy was not a client. It's just such a good idea. So some of what I'm about to say is speculation. He had a restaurant, and for his restaurant, he would go out and he would go on these scuba diving trips, and he would take pictures of the underwater fish and coral, and they were spectacular. And he would come back, and he would make those into a calendar, and on the calendar, he would put coupons for the restaurant. So if he's taken what is an otherwise personal expense, scuba diving trip, and he's turned it into a completely deductible expense, advertising for his restaurant. It's just brilliant. It's a brilliant use of the tax code. The tax code, again, lets you take anything that is related to business and be able to deduct it within certain constraints. So you're able to do things like save for retirement, You're able to do health savings accounts, and you don't have to incorporate necessarily to do it. Now, there may be some other reasons to incorporate. For instance, from a tax perspective, an S corporation allows you to save some money on self-employment taxes. From a legal perspective, it's always a good idea to incorporate to protect your personal assets. So there are a number of ways around the tax code without necessarily incorporating. And frankly, you know, until it becomes from a tax perspective, in my view, until you're really saving some tax dollars, incorporating may not be the worth the hassle factor of having to file payroll tax returns. There's four of those a year. Actually, there's 4, 8, 12, about 15 or 16 of those a year. And, you know, golly, make it worth your while. Save a lot of money on taxes before you start giving yourself a lot of headaches.
Right.
So, but every decision for every taxpayer is different. There are good reasons to incorporate for legal purposes, for financial planning purposes that don't have anything to do with taxes, and there are good reasons to incorporate that have everything to do with taxes. But it's not a standalone by itself tax account. And the big question that has been around for as long as I've been in practice, which is 20 years, is home office.
Oh my goodness, Debbie, you hit it. I was going to be like, oh, okay, I hope I'm not going to backtrack, because I was going to be like, Debbie, can you please highlight point 4 and 5 on your site with the home office? I get so many questions with that, Debbie, and it's just, some of the questions are just outrageous. I got one question one time, and I'm sorry, just to say this, since it's in your newsletter and you're speaking of it. They were like, well, what's considered a home office? And, you know, I was told that if you got a bed in it, it's not a home office. It has to have a desk and a chair. I mean, what is considered a home? What makes a home office in the eyes of the IRS? So those of you that have asked me this question numerous times, Debbie is going to let you know right now.
And it's subject to, as with everything in the tax code, it's subject to interpretation. The reality is that if you have a place in your home that is dedicated to your business, then that, and you perform administrative functions in those homes. You don't have to, you may not do anything other than administrative functions, but if you do administrative functions in your home, it becomes a home office. So that means that you can have multiple home offices. If you have a home, if you have in your house a home office, where you regularly perform administrative and or other duties. I mean, for me, in the nature of what I do, accounting and tax work, I do more than administrative work just for my home office. I do income-producing work. But there actually was, again, another Supreme Court case, and I want to say this was in the early 80s, where there was an anesthesiologist who went to the hospital where he did what anesthesiologists do. He gave people drugs to put them to sleep. And he came back to his home office where what he did was bill the respective patients and hospitals and insurance. That was all that he did at his home office. And the Supreme Court determined that that was sufficient in order to make it a home office, so that every time he left his home office to drive to the hospital, it was tax deductible. If he left his home office to go to the office supply store, it was tax deductible. I'm trying to think. If he left his home office, doctors would go to, I don't know, medical clinics and continuing education. That mileage was tax deductible because he had established that his home office was used exclusively for business to perform administrative functions which were necessary for his business to operate, and therefore it was fully deductible on his taxes. Now, it's not, you know, there's so many people with home offices now. Not a red flag. It really kind of used to be, but, you know, gosh, look at where technology has taken us. 5 years ago, you know, cell phones were the size of a keyboard. Now your cell phone can do what NASA computers used to do. It took up whole room. So home office is so commonplace nowadays. And telecommuting nowadays. This is not the red flag that once it was. And
right.
You know, just because you don't claim your home office deduction, and you have to know that exclusive use is really an important concept in your home office deduction. If you have a room that is a spare bedroom and you have people who come and stay there, and if you don't have guests, you use it as your home office, then you're not eligible for the home office deduction. But, again, if it's exclusive use, you're eligible for the home office deduction. But don't be confused. That doesn't mean that stuff that you buy for your office isn't still deductible. I still can deduct pens, pencils, paper clips, computers, printers, laptops, so all of the things that go into running your business. But in order to actually claim the home office, there has to be exclusive use. And this gets into some more difficulty in the tax code. Just because you're eligible for home office doesn't mean that you may want to take it. Under current tax
right.
code, if I sell my house today, it's tax-free money. If I use the home office deduction, some portion of selling my house is going to be taxable. So all I have to do to not make it tax deductible is not use it exclusively for business. So there, as with most things, you have to look at a whole lot of other factors other than, hey, I can save money on my taxes. Well, but what happens on the back end?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was
right.
still talking for you.
No, that's fine. Just trying to hear you. I know that your phone and, you know, just with you. Okay, well, let's take a quick break, Debbie, and then we'll be back. And, you know, for those that want more information on these, on the seven common small business tax misperceptions, they definitely can reach out to you, which will provide the contact information, and they know they can go and be able to enjoy it. But I also just want you to just kind of highlight the financial tips for the month. But let's take a quick break and allow you to get some water, and if you got a caller, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And we are back. Welcome back to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio with Debbie Snelling, Working Diva, the Snelling Group, with the monthly newsletter, Tax and Financial Tips. Lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709, as always, BuildGrowAndEnjoy.com for live chat. Enjoy it while you guys are over there, Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Also, you listeners, I got the pictures up for the Oscar luncheon, MMPA, where we did a live broadcast, which was a huge success, and got lots and lots of pictures up of very influential people throughout Hollywood, from Sally Kirkland and Susan Chance, and of course, Mr. Jarvie Hutcherson, and many, 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 many more. So get on over there to Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Got some videos up of the Keystone Leadership Awards. Looking forward to the 2013. We are in the midst of planning for that also. It's going to be big news when I announce who is going to be hosting it. Had some competition going there, but we have decided who will be our host venue of the year, and we're just looking forward to that. And just such a blessing it is to build, grow, and enjoy where we can go forth and bless others. But we're going to take a caller, Debbie, before we get into the financial tips, and then let's see what's going on with them. Maybe I have a question for you. Hello, caller, 912-5773. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio.
Good afternoon, Madam Kalita.
Hi, how are you, James? How is Atlanta?
Atlanta, I'm telling you, it's bright and sunny. The skies are so clear and blue. It is the most beautiful day in Atlanta, Georgia, Miss Kalita.
Well, do you got a question for Debbie, or would you like to say something
on the air? No, I'm going to just make a quick question. First, you need to get something for your cough. You still sound pretty bad, Madam Jenkins. My question is simply this. When dealing with a 501c3 nonprofit, do you also have to get a business license for your local community, or does the 501c3 stand good for your status?
That is an excellent question. I have to think about that for a moment. I haven't had that before. The answer, it really kind of depends upon what the function and purpose of the 501c3 is and then what the social ordinance is regarding a business license. So what's, in your situation, what's your 501c3 do?
We take care of pretty much children with cancer. We're a childhood cancer awareness group, as well as we have now started our 501c3, what is called the Thumbs Up for a Cure, where we're taking care of the situations with breast cancer, childhood cancer, brain tumors, just about every type of cancer that's imaginable. And we're faced with a small situation where someone has come to us and said that we need to take our 501c3 to the level that we must also have a business license in the community. And I per se don't see where that is relevant with the 501c3 being your federal status.
Well, local governments issue, as I alluded to before, the business license is generally from your local government. And they ensure part of the reason for the business license is to generate revenue for the locality, because you are using their services in their community. So the first answer is you have to check with the local government and see what their zoning and reporting requirements are. If you're establishing a business office, as a rule of thumb, you're going to have a business license. If you're working from your home, as a rule of thumb, you may not have to. But the real answer is to contact the local taxing jurisdiction that issues the business license to see what their requirements are.
Okay, I greatly appreciate that. Again, Madam Kalita, Atlanta salute. You guys have a wonderful day in Cali.
And because you're here locally, contact me and we'll follow up.
Yes, James, you know how to go to BillGroningJoint.com and just go in the guest contact group, and she's under the Debbie's name is right there with the Snelling group, and you can contact her directly. Great. That's awesome, Debbie. Awesome. You are making an impact looking deep on now. Let's see here. That is a good question that James have. I mean, that's surprising that they would even have for a business license with it being a 501c. That's pretty surprising, Debbie.
Well, more and more, as you know, local, state, and local jurisdictions are having to come up with creative ways to pay for their services. So more and more things that they didn't require you to get a license for, they didn't require you to pay tax on, those things are more and more being taxed. There's talk about Atlanta senior citizens in many jurisdictions don't have to pay property taxes, and there's talk about doing away with that exemption.
Oh, wow, yeah. And it can be kind of confusing in Atlanta metro, period, because there's just so many different counties, and each county has different laws, so yeah, it can be a challenge, but yeah, that one was a good question. Now, you have financial tips for 2013, college planning, mortgage reviews, required minimum distributions, budgets for tax payments. The one that kind of pops out to me is the mortgage review. You know, a lot of people are going through foreclosure. A lot of people are getting modified. Can you give some quick just feedback on that piece with the tips? And, of course, they can go to the site and get more information.
Well, the first bit to know is look at your mortgage interest and determine if you're overpaying. The Obama administration has been working closely with the large mortgage companies who, as you know, everybody, they receive bailouts and people are getting foreclosed upon anyway. So the Obama administration's been working to try to remedy that. And one of those remedies is the ability to reduce your interest rate as well as sometimes to reduce the amount of principal. So look at your mortgage rate, see if you're eligible to do a refinance, to reduce your monthly payment. My in-laws actually just refinanced from a 30-year mortgage to a 15-year mortgage, got such a better interest rate that their payment went down even though their term is cut in half. So take a look at it. And then there are tax implications of what happens if you get some of your principal waived or reduced. that may or may not be taxable depending upon whether it's your primary residence or vacation home. And I wanted to bounce back a little bit because I bounced on the home office deduction and having multiple home office deductions, and I forgot to finish it because of the seal cost. But you can have, and Kalicia, you're a perfect example because you're bi-coastal. So you've got an office in California and you've got an office here in Atlanta, and you could have a home office deduction in both. So if you've got a vacation home and you work from your vacation home, then you could be eligible for home office deduction in your vacation home. So
I didn't know that. That is good to know because I'm going to need that. I didn't know that.
And that was why I wanted to bounce back to it, was because it is such a such an overlooked item.
Yeah, that is good to know. See, that's why I love you, Debbie, because I was like, you know, you can have a, this girl know her stuff, you know? So I am just absolutely blessed to have you on air, and, you know, I'm looking forward to you coming on monthly and sharing this information. As you can see, people are listening, so you are, you know, being recorded. Popular demand, so you got something good dual going, and I'm learning from you also. So let everyone know how they can contact you, Debbie.
Well, I can be reached at tsrcax@gmail.com. That's Tom San Robert, TomAppleXray@gmail.com. Our website is SnellingReport.com. That's thesnelling report.com. That's where you'll find the newsletter that you and I refer to. You can sign up for the newsletter, have it emailed directly to you. And, you know, again, it's just really good newsletter. It's so chock full of information. You and I are touching on a bit of it, but there's so much more, in particular during tax season, where we cram it full of tax tips. So you can also reach me directly by telephone, and I hope James will do that at 404-944-3172.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for taking the time out. Even under your condition, you are awesome. You rock, working diva. So get better. Get better.
Thank you.
Because I'm looking forward to having you back next month.
I'm looking forward to it as well. It's always a delight to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, there you guys have it. Miss Debbie Snelling, working diva with the Snelling Report. You can go to snellingreport.com, billgrownandjoy.com, under the guest group. Debbie's information is there. She'll be back next month with more information. Till then, you can go on over to, like I said, to snellingreport.com. Go ahead and check her out. Read the rest of the newsletter. Educate you about yourself. Empower yourself. You know, get to know what is needed to have yourself or to encourage yourself to thrive. That's what it's all about. If you don't know, you don't know how to make it happen. So definitely for all your tax needs, you know, the deadlines are coming up. Debbie is definitely the person that you would want to reach out to. I absolutely endorse her. This girl knows her stuff. SnellingReport.com. That's going to conclude us for today, you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I just thank you guys for all your support. I thank everybody for being a part of this movement, this mission, this ministry, Build, Grow, and Enjoy, as we're reaching out to everyone globally, making a difference, empowering, and just making this vision come to life. So you guys have a great day. We are back on Monday. Same time, same place, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. BuildGrownEnjoy.com. Become a part of the movement. And as I always tell you guys, enjoy.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things, positive actions lead to positive results.